Welcome back, 90.39 during full Jekyll time. 11 minutes gone past the hour of 11 o'clock. It's our final conversation. And I did tell you today, we're having very feisty conversation. I'd like to thank all of you for participating thus far till this moment. Now, our next conversation is all about motorcycles and obviously about comments that came through last week. How many of you remember when the governor, the person that a lot of people like to call 001 in River State, made a comment about trying to clean up Port Harcourt, clean up the city, and made mention of reiterating that motorcycles are banned in Falga and Obiakpo local government areas, basically in Port Harcourt main town. And we are here to talk with some individuals who have been affected by this new command. Some say there's some ambiguity in the governor's comments, but we'll sit down this morning and get to hear from them and also get to hear from you right here on Hello Port Harcourt. Once again, my name is Jude. All right, so welcome to the program. This morning, I am joined in the studio by Nina Williams, CEO Reynolds, and we also have Victor Omelu. Nina is the welfare coordinator of Port Harcourt Logistics Owners Association, and Victor Omelu, he is the past chairman of the Port Harcourt Logistics Owners Association and a member of the Board of Trustees. Good morning to you both, and thank you for coming this morning. Good morning.
Good morning, Jude.
All right, good morning, Nina, and good morning, Victor.
Good morning, Jude.
All right, good to have both of you here in the studios. Now, the logistics business in the past 2 years in Nigeria has blown, literally with the advent of online sales and e-commerce. So a lot of people these days like to order their meals, like to order their clothes from vendors all across the Federation. People have bought things. I've bought things. I think we came from Lagos, but they were delivered to me. And one of the principal means that those things were delivered to me was through the logistics companies, and many of them use motorcycles. Now, within the states, we've seen the rise in the use of motorcycles across from Lagos, Port Harcourt. When Lagos banned them, I think it was Gokada a few years ago, people made the same comment that, hey, look, there's nothing wrong with restricting the movement, but if there are legitimate businesses that depend on these services, it's going to cause a lot of problem. And these days, we've seen that change. People now have deliveries, the motorcycles, the tricycles, and small mini buses are now being used. Now, we had that January of this year, as the governor was giving his New Year message and talking to people afterwards, that, hey, look, they tried to sanitize the state. And then, motorcycles were made mention of. Did it come as a shock to you, Nina? Let me start with you.
Definitely did. I woke up to the news around 3 a.m. The update, actually.
Okay.
Yes.
At 3 a.m.?
Yes. We were not pre-informed. I think after the first governor's speech, there were rumors flying around, though it was shuttle. So we all relaxed. Oh, this is a core sector in, the Port Harcourt business arena. So we didn't expect it.
When you say shuttle, you're talking about the small mini buses?
No. If you go to Alo.
Okay,
regular shuttle. That ban has been in place for years.
For years, actually, I think it's 2008, if I'm not mistaken.
2017, actually, I think.
There was one.
Tried it.
Yeah, there was one in 2008. There was one in 2016 and 2017 as well.
Yeah. So that was what we thought, and we all relaxed. We relaxed actually because we're all legitimate business owners.
Okay.
Registered under the right government parastatals. So.
Okay, so let's start with that registration.
Yes.
So how were you registered? When you started your company as a logistics, did you let the the revenue services and all those, the local government councils, that this is what you are planning to do?
Yeah, before you register as a logistic company owner in Port Harcourt, before your bike runs on the road in Port Harcourt.
For a logistic company, not every logistic company will have a bike, or is that everyone has a bike?
To be a logistic company, you need to own a bike, a van, a car, something that has to move goods from one point to the other.
Okay.
So every single one of us registered under the local government, in the sense that we bought what they call stickers tons of stickers, actually.
Oh, wow.
Yes. We registered under what we call RISA. I think you should be very familiar with it. Yes. We have JTB. And then we have the...
That's Joint Tax Board.
Yes, actually.
Okay. All right.
And then we have the operational permits from the Ministry of Transport. And that is just a small aspect of what we have to pay to do business in Port Harcourt. And this thing runs into 40,000, 45 or more, depending on who is doing it for you.
For a startup?
No, for you, each year.
Oh, each year?
Yes, actually.
You have to pay about 40,000 just as levies?
Yes.
More.
Or more.
Okay.
And then you still have to go out there and then you find the touts, the tax force, you know, harass you. Mm. You get into a certain local government like Elemeye or Ne?
Okrika.
They have their own sticker, so you need to buy it afresh.
Oh, so if someone places an order and your logistics company has to go into Okrika, for example, that's once you just pass Abuloma now, it's a different
I need to have their sticker to get in there. If I don't, the tax force would hold me and then probably sanction me or fine me for 10K or thereabouts. Or something, anything that comes into their head. They would impound my bag. They have the right to, actually. So that's just one small aspect of what we have to pay to be in business.
Port Harcourt. All right.
So that's besides all your company registrations, you know, whatever.
Okay, so we're talking about CAC.
Yeah, okay. That's beside it.
All right. Now, Nina, as a welfare coordinator, one of the challenges is anybody who talk about welfare is, okay, how are the bikes operating, how are the members faring, you know, in-house rancor and things like that. The shuttles, like you mentioned, had no business, or you have no business with shuttles.
No.
So I think just about only Alu, if I'm not mistaken, I think it's only Alu and Triple Wear bikes, that's motorcycles operating the shuttle format where they take students to the villages.
Yeah, I think it's for now, it's just Alu. Yeah. I don't know, have you seen
LMA? Yes, LMA is going to Ibuichi.
Okay, LMA.
They actually have some around Eleleon.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay. I know about Alu. I think elementary, because I remember last year when we had the blockade, when the youths blocked the road and said it was bad. We had people come on air to say, ha, they're charging almost 500 naira to take them via the bikes, the motorcycles across. So those are the only places where bikes in River State, apart from the maybe villages, outside. Yeah.
But even then, I think if you look around within the Port Harcourt metropolis, you would see... you know, people run around with bikes, maybe selling nylon, or just, you know, a couple of persons riding bikes.
Okay, that's true. Who are small businesses that use motorcycles.
Yeah, for personal use.
Yeah, for personal use. Mm. Okay. All right. Now that being said, some people are saying that maybe this ban was ambiguous by the governor. Maybe he did not specify. Maybe what they are trying to clamp down is shuttle services, people who would use motorcycles to ferry people, collect money across Port Harcourt. Now, if you're listening to us, please call us and tell us if you've observed any of that activity, by the way, in Port Harcourt. But to the best of your knowledge, in the past 1 year, have you noticed anywhere within Port Harcourt from, like, say, St. John's now, or from, like, say, old Port Harcourt town, maybe down to East West. Have you noticed, Victor, anybody carrying people on motorcycles, you know, dropping them off?
Once in a while, you just see one person carrying another person. You know, uniformed men are allowed to carry bikes.
Okay.
Yes, so you can't really tell, but I think the shuttle movement is way too small. It's minimal. You understand? Okay. You can just see maybe one in a day, and you can't really tell if this person is
on the shuttle,
exactly. But what I can tell you is, you can see bikes without this dispatch box. You know, this our box is more like an identity for us. So you can see somebody with just bike without a box.
Mm.
Yes, you see them moving around from one place to another.
Mm. Okay, all right. So we see them from one place to another, bikes without the
dispatch box.
Dispatch box that people put in the content that are meant to send to various destinations. So now it's been a few days. Today is Tuesday, right? Today is Tuesday, and how long has it been officially since operations for your businesses? How long has it been affected now?
Since yesterday,
officially.
Officially. You know, some persons said they were holding some bikes around Casablanca on Sunday.
On Sunday?
Yes, we heard that.
Okay.
But we're not we just felt it was one of those, you know, issues because most persons, like 80% of our members, don't work on Sundays.
Okay, so there are private businesses who are not maybe members of the logistics. Yeah, they have a right to operate on their own. They don't. They're not your own member.
Actually, everybody has a right to operate on their own. But the thing is, like we have an association and we encourage them to come on board. That way, they get the full benefit of being in this business. They get first-hand information, and they just basically they have a team to work with. But you know, there's some people that are not very well informed, so they're out there running on their own without direction, and they make a lot of mistakes. Actually,
okay, all right. So it's good to have you know, a body that protects the general group from harm. Now, just one day. Or 2 days now, right? Is it two days now? 2 days, no operation. So that means people who would like to have ordered maybe food or medicine or whatever it is within town, deliveries, jewelry and things like that, they've not been able to do so.
Yes. And it's a problem. It's a problem for us. Personally, I thank the governor for trying to put down structures to make sure, you know, the governor gets information from everywhere and he comes up with policy to make the state better.
Yeah.
But I think I'm equally sad that we operate with this kind of reactive approach in the country.
Mm.
You just come and just put a ban all of a sudden. I can tell you, I've been in this business for 3 years and I can tell you daily people survive. People survive. We have people that just sell shawarma and they need that 500 naira gain. You understand? No, it wasn't like that delivery takes it and they need that. Even if they're just selling one shawarma, that 500 naira gain they are making is what keeps them afloat. People that are selling Tom Brown. These are persons that you don't see every day, but they are solely dependent on logistics. So coming outrightly to ban the service,
It's just motorcycles. They didn't ban logistic company. They just banned the use of motorcycles.
No, but truthfully, if you let's be very, very real. When it comes to logistics in Port Harcourt, and in fact in Nigeria, besides the vans, the cars, bikes actually take the major part of that sector.
Okay.
There are certain places I cannot get my car into.
Okay.
There are certain places he cannot get his van into. He has to do
with bike. With a bike.
Yeah. And besides, like you said, yeah, business, you know, you don't expect somebody who sells a product for 5,000 naira, 3,500 naira to book a car or book a van.
Mm.
It's going to cost you like 3K, 3,5, 4,000.
Just to hire a car to move.
Except you're very desperate.
Okay.
So, but when you use a bike, you know, you start getting rates that range between 1,000 naira and 1,500, which is easier for you to pay. So bikes actually take up a large part of the sector. That's why, you know, each time they talk about logistics, everybody refers back to bikes.
Mm.
There are cars and vans. There are so many. There are trucks, actually.
Yeah, we see trucks that move, you know, heavier items, tables, chairs, generators, and things like that.
See, I must say, when you say logistics, everyone does logistics, moving from one place to another, isn't it?
Mm.
It's just that this delivery, I like to call it the delivery angle of logistics.
Okay.
I think the reason why we have more, like, the touch lights on us, we are organized. Because somebody that's moving loyally from Eleme or Eche to Port Harcourt is doing logistics.
True.
But they are not registered. They don't have any form of, I don't think most of them have registered with the government, CAC. They don't get most of these stickers, JTB, RISA. But they do their business free without much hassles than some of us that are doing it legitimately. So you understand?
That's a very interesting point, Victor, you just made mention. The fact that there are individuals who are carrying their businesses, though legitimate, but they are not in code registered. They're not under any form of taxation directly. But you and others who are like you are registered with the CAC.
CAC.
Pay taxes. Pay levies demanded for by the various local governments.
Exactly.
And then you have a structure that ideally is meant to liaise with all of these government functionaries.
Yeah.
And I shall say something. Let me just make this point. Normally, once you get a sticker in any local government, it's supposed to carry you around the 74 local governments in this country. Like if I buy from Port Harcourt local government, I'm supposed to go to LMA. But in Port Harcourt,
wow,
it's different. You need to buy stickers from each local government. Each local government.
Are you serious?
And let me tell you, an average rider moves across four or five local governments every day. Like, you just pick a, somebody calls you in Chuba, you're from Chuba, you're entering Room Massey, that's Emoha, you're entering Fogiapo, you're entering Town Burukiri, they take you to Eleme, they say, okay, come, please, go to Ane. You come back again, they say, go to Obibo. You can still go to Igrita and Branch Eche. So, you
all in one day?
Yes. So, you cannot really say you need just Faga ticket, you sticker, for you to be operational. So, that's the problem we're facing.
I need to ask you now. You are a registered body and organization. So, the government in its various forms, whether it's in the state government or in the Ministry of Finance, knows about your presence. CS knows about your presence. Have you made a complaint about this issue of multiple ticketing across?
Russ, we've been here severally. Wazubia and so many stations last day. And I can tell you, thanks to the Honorary Commissioner, I know last year we were having a meeting when they mandated everybody to get the rider's permit.
Okay.
The rider's permit. And we have talked about this multiple transaction every time. But when you get there, they keep telling you, the state government is different from the local government. Local government are allowed to run theirs. We're supposed to have this unified sector where everybody will just know we are buying JTB, and JTB should cover for certain, you understand? And it's a problem. Sometimes it's not even after the money. We're not even particular about the money we pay. If, for example, JTB says we are paying 30,000 or 40,000 naira and it covers everything, we know, okay, yes.
We're done.
Now you buy sticker in Obiakpo and you move to another place. A certain... maybe some kind of doubts just come out. Okay, for example, let me just say, Erebe is in Obiakpo. You buy Obiakpo sticker, you get to Erebe, some persons will come out and say, no,
but
Erebe should have their own sticker. Erebe will tell you they have their own sticker.
Erebe is not a local government.
No, it's under Obiakpo. I'm telling you, you get LMS sticker, you enter some places in Leto, some people will come out and tell you, you need to get their street sticker.
Their street sticker.
You are in Room Massey or you're in Burukiri. How can you get to LMS to tell them that, see, this is stick? They know this, but they keep harassing you, you keep sending money to them every day. See, we don't want to talk about the problems we face. If we decide to talk about the problems we face running this small 800, 1,000 naira delivery, you'll be surprised. We're just trying to do something. Most of us felt this was going to be our main hustle. But as I'm talking to you right now, it's more like a side hustle because you cannot make anything out of it. I'm talking about the operational cost. You know about inflation, like what we used to buy for 2.5 oil is now 7,000 naira. And we are still battling with the same price of delivery since 2 years ago. I don't even understand. So it's somehow.
All right, we'll go for a break right here on 90.3 Nigeria. My name is Jude. I have guests with me, and we are talking about the recent ban on motorcycles. Some say it's ambiguous. The governor did not not clearly specify, but it's just a ban on motorcycle activities. So, are the task force members, are they overreaching their limits? Are they putting unnecessary pressure on individuals who are carrying out legitimate businesses? When we come back, we'll open the phone lines. We'd like to get to hear from you right here on 90.3 Nigeria Info.
Hello, Port Hackett. Say hello to the buzz, the vibes, the peculiarities and regularities of a contemporary city.
Hello, Port Harcourt. Let's talk about this modern metropolis sprawling from the city to the exurbs, the suburbs, township, community and your locality.
Let's talk about happenings in your neighborhood, standards at your workplace, social amenities and issues of great concern to you on Hello, Port Harcourt. Every weekday from 9 a.m. to midday on your number one station for talk, news, and sports. 92.3 Nigeria Info.
Let's talk.
Welcome back. Hello, Port Harcourt. My name is Jude. Our final conversation this morning is about the ban on motorcycles in Port Harcourt and in Obiakpo, the major local government areas in River State, parts of local government in River State. So the question we asked earlier on, how does this affect the logistic companies? Well, we've been very fortunate to have Nina Williams, Welfare Coordinator, Port Harcourt Logistics Owners Association, and Victor Umelu, and a former board member of of the Port Harcourt Logistics Owners Association. We have them here with us. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for coming.
Thank you very much.
Right, so now you share with us some of the operational challenges that you've been experiencing. And I have to be very honest, it does come to me as a huge surprise. Now, let's get to the governor's comments. Now, the governor's comments were the motorcycles have been banned. But the question is, he was referring to motorcycles as, like you said, for shuttle services or an outright ban in its entirety?
Initially we thought it was just shuttle services, and then we got a direct information from the Ministry of Transport that it was actually for everybody. You know, then people said, okay, we should go back and listen to the speech, that there was a place, he said, for corporate purposes or corporate use from one end to the other. That was when it dawned on us that, oh, we actually hit. And then the next morning, a few persons also were still in denial, actually. And then they got into the road. And the tax force people packed, and just packed them up.
All right. So now that this has come, it's just been about 48 hours. Has there been any contact with the Ministry of Transportation to liaise to find out what amendment can be made? Since, just like in Lagos a few years ago, the same thing was done, and then the committees were set up, conversations were had, and the e-commerce business is still thriving in Lagos. People still have logistic companies that go on bicycle, on motorcycles, and other modes of transport to deliver. Are there plans to do that, Victor?
Okay, yes. Thanks to our president, Zoran's author, Chijoka. Yesterday, he single-handedly delivered these letters to both the ministry, the commissioner himself, and he went to Government House and dropped the message. He said he met the DSS there, so he dropped it there with them. And I know he said something about the commissioner asking for a meeting tomorrow for him to brief the body on the outcome of things. So that's what we are waiting for right now. Maybe tomorrow the executives will go there and let us know the stand, the government stand, you understand, as regards the ban and what to do next. Though there are certain articles flying there from different blogs saying we would have to go through some level of verification from each local government for us to start, and it's funny, and there's this notion that is going out there that the logistics are not verified. Government wants to verify us.
Okay.
Wants to, and it's appalling to hear such statements.
But isn't that appropriate? Because I remember in Lagos State when the ban was initially made. People had that same argument that the sheer size of the Lagos environment and the numbers, it'd be very difficult to say, hold this person and say, this is a genuine member of a logistic company. People would wake up in the morning, just put the container at the back of your
the
box on the motorcycles, right, and start to operate. There's no CAC documentation. There's nothing, and that was what led to that verification process. So isn't a verification process proper so that we know that proper people are in the proper place at the proper time?
I don't have a problem with the government wanting to do a verification process, but I have a problem with the fact that we already have an operational permit from the Ministry of Transport with this same information being given to them.
Okay.
Before you issue that, you have to give. And I didn't tell you that each of them operational permits is for, if you have 5 bikes, you would do 5.
I'm sorry, for each of
For the company, you have to do...
If you have five bikes, you register the five bikes, not per company.
Not per company.
If you have 10, you pay 10. The same amount per...
Yes.
Okay.
Same thing with...
Okay, I am shocked because I don't mean to stand on your side or anybody's side, but this is a company, right? So if I register a company, I do know that for vehicles, for example, you know, company vehicles have to be registered. You have to put a plate number, right, for each vehicle. Yeah. Isn't that the same with these bikes?
Yes. Now, each bike is actually registered, you know, with its own license plate and everything.
Yes.
So when you go to the Ministry of Transport to get your operational permit for that bike, you register it as an individual bike.
Not as a corporate entity.
No. So even, of course, you're coming as a company.
Yes.
What I'm trying to clarify here is, you know, for vehicles, right, every vehicle on the road, even government vehicles, are all registered, right? So if you have your registration, that's for that machine to say, okay, this machine, this number is registered in this country, right?
Yes.
But are you saying that after you've done that, for that same motorcycle to be used for your business, it has to be registered again?
Yes.
See, let me walk us through. You know, after the ban for bikes, the normal bike, shuttle bikes.
Yes.
Now, for you to, as a corporate entity to run, you need a permit from the Ministry of Transportation.
One.
Now, like you said, once you get the bike, you register with Inland Revenue, the normal stuff, chassis.
Yes.
Now, let me tell you, when, as a logistic company, you go to the Ministry of Transportation, you register your company name, tender your CAC document,
okay,
your plate number, chassis number, okay, phone number, local government of operations,
okay,
with everything. The only thing we did not drop is our BVN, or maybe we don't come every day to make attendance. We have done the required registration. And I can tell you, because I was a member of the task force that the Ministry of Transportation instituted to checkmate people, to make sure that all bikes on the road have riders permit. And I can tell you, we had over 900 and something bikes registered. See, if you see any bike, any dispatch bike, quote me any day, any dispatch bike on the road has been verified by the Ministry of Transportation. Quote me. Every logistic company has been verified by the Ministry of Transportation. If you don't have that, your rider's permit, task force will impound you, and you pay times two of the original price.
So methods or those systems have been in place to make sure that only verified individuals, people who have proper permit, and I think I heard the governor also make mention that, you know, anybody's going to be on that using the bike has to get proper verification. So right now, you are saying that it looks like you're not sure yet that process has to be started all over again.
Maybe they want to bring another process, because when we did our rider's permit, all of a sudden, after 3 months, they said we are going to have a rider's like a rider's license, that every rider should have a rider's card.
That's apart from the rider's permit and the rider's own driver's license.
Yes, yes, yes.
Because I do know that the driver's license for riders is separate from your car license.
Yeah, you need that, actually. Yes. You need the rider's permit to operate.
Okay.
Prior to that time, the association went to the ministry and told them, because we have a database of every rider within us. These are structures we put in place to make sure. Yes. So we told them. After 1 month later or 2 months, they came up and said, we're supposed to have a rider's card that was going to have yearly expiration.
Mm.
And we did that too. So if they are talking about another verification, then maybe they are saying they want a new one. And them telling us again, like I said, buzz and rumor, that we're going to come to each local government to verify. We already have local government stickers, operational stickers. And there is no way you can tell over 1,000 persons to line up. I need to shuttle from, like I said, different local government every day. So for me now, I'll go to Obiagbo, register, go to this, register. So six or seven local governments to register.
It really is a cumbersome process. All right, so we're good. We have just about 10 minutes. We're going to go to the phone lines now, and let's get to hear from those on the streets. Let's get to hear from our listeners. We're talking about the ban on motorcycles in Port Harcourt. Extreme, you say, or the governor's comment too ambiguous? Want more specificity? Yes, we don't want to have Okadas or motorcycles plying the streets of River State as they used to, causing harm, and you know, a lot of people made mention of security challenges as well. But now these individuals, logistic companies, primarily use motorcycles to help ferry goods and services from one point to another. So our question for you this morning, is this ban a bit too hasty? And what are your suggestions to the government? How should they, as it were, if that's the problem, verify these individuals. 0817-923-0002, 0817-923-0003, 0817-923-0007, and then 0817-923-0009. That's the female caller number. Facebook.com/ Nigeria Info PH. Facebook.com/Nigeria Info PH. When you call in, do well, turn down the volume of your radio set. 923, hello, Port Harcourt. Good morning, please.
Hello.
Good morning. Welcome.
I'm very happy about it. As a truck driver, we have been looking at this thing from a very distance. The way government go about it is very funny, especially when it has to do with the sticker. It's very funny that government, River State government or other state government, they can channel this very sticker of the thing to just one particular, maybe either state. Or every local government go to internal board of internal revenue and place their one single sticker. And then they circulate it to, when you go to internal board of internal revenue, you get one sticker that cover everywhere. Because towns take advantage of these things. I'm telling you, you can't, there is no way you can buy tickets from all the local government and you go to another state, you buy all the tickets from everywhere. And you see, a lot of us that do this logistics, not just like this young man said, we go to almost every local government. And how can it be possible for you to buy all the local government stickers? It's not possible. And another thing to these very people, I feel for them because it's like government are looking at ways to tax on this, just like as that guy said, you stay for 1 month, you look for one other language to use to collect money. To stay the next 3 months, you look for another language, you come back. I don't know. I don't know where we are heading to.
Match number three. Hello, Port Harcourt. Good morning, please.
Mr. Jim, good morning.
Good morning. Welcome.
My name is Beth. I'm calling from Goma. Hello, Port Harcourt.
It's good morning.
I was, when the news came out in my area, I just came down from the Keke and I had two guys conversing. All of them were saying, senior man, don't ban our chopping. See, it is in as much as the governor, I don't know whether he's trying to create a form of maybe the security aspect is trying to look over that sector. Because even in the statement, the women putting tables and umbrellas in their front edges, he said something, he said, kidnappers are using those people to give information. Those people are giving those people selling bread or, for instance, fruits, putting umbrellas outside, giving kidnappers information to kidnap people responsible in the society. But I want to say something. Because in as much as he's doing all these things, so I don't know whether he thinks creating employment is by doing tax fund going. Creating employment is not about, there are things free. Me, I like competition in everything I do. How about the River State governor? You say, okay, fine. I think this biking business is another way of employment. River State will produce, all of their pop will bring 50 bikes or 50 of this, tax force boys. Let's see this competition. Okay, fine. You can do your business, pay your ticket. But these boys, I want to pull you out. It is the best way to help these boys. That is empowerment. Many boys will do their business. Delivery and they bring returns. It is not that a way forward. Now, look at how many bikers they've dropped in the house. If you can count these people that just come at just one sector, there are other sectors that also have bikers. I know of a young looking boy that rents a room. He is the one that is taking care of his family. He has two sisters. He's taking care of them, giving them paying their school fees in school. Now tell me, as you stop this business, how will this boy take care of his sister? The school now will definitely have problems. So for me, the government is not helping the economy of the state. It's not helping the individual. We are not asking for much. All we just ask for is making the environment enabling. It is not road and what we call flyover.
Okay.
Let there be competition. Let these persons to do their business. Then let there be a way of collecting these taxes, not like they said if you go to Lenin. be paid for one, in pay their tax on them. Even in India, there are some schools that will hold in bike and tell them, look, you have to pay a parking ground or whatever. All these things are not, it is not gold, it is not, it doesn't sell our state, it doesn't sell for tax as well. That's all, Mahalo, thank you.
All right, best. So evil streets. This is interesting. Somebody else is calling to corroborate your comments. Yeah, that sometimes even you mentioned the real BA, if I'm not mistaken.
I tell you, like I said, I've been in business. I've seen, you know, like different every day. There is no day we don't go to one place in one. We are discovering new places every day because it's easy for somebody to just come out and tell you he's from this. And you know, this, your rider might not have the technical know-how or might not be experienced to tackle them.
Yeah.
So, and they are leveraging on the fact that the owner is not there. And there's nothing you can do. So, the harassment. Now, imagine somebody that's pushing, that is not pushing, that is taking a pharmaceutical product from one place to another. Because we have clients that will say, take this drug to Uniport, to the teaching hospital.
Yes,
they hold you and, you know.
Somebody's waiting for that drug.
Exactly. And sometimes you see tax force that will pick you from here. They won't verify your paper. They'll take it to their place, maybe far Ogobolo from Port Harcourt now. When you not get there, you now find out, oh, your paper is complete. Imagine the time taken to get to this place only
and
for them to say.
And there's no apology, there's nothing.
Yes, if not for the. That one, I'll give you kudos to the Ministry of Transportation. They helped us with the rider's permit. Now it's automated. You can go online and check if you have rider's permit. Mm. There's stickers and stuff. How do you tell?
Well, that's after time wasting.
Oh. Yeah, yeah.
Yes. So that's the issue.
That's time wasted. That's money lost as well.
Yeah.
And what if that person had died?
And our business depends on time.
Indeed. The business does depend on time. All right, let's get to Facebook. Facebook.com/Nigeria Info. OG White says they should be banned, especially those logistic riders. They are causing problems on the road and also riding against traffic. Even the policemen see them. Now, this is a very interesting issue, talking about security concerns about some riders. And I have to be honest, I have seen some riders ride against traffic. How have you, you're the welfare person.
Okay. When it comes to riders riding against traffic, particularly those of us who are in the association, we have a standing law or rule in our companies. If you ride against traffic and you're caught, you will need to bail yourself. Personally, I do it. So I tell my riders every single day, don't ride against traffic. Now, if another rider is riding against traffic, I'm not going to fault the person or deny what the person is saying. That should be on the company. That's one. Then, if you're talking about security concerns, in what aspect? I think I heard somebody talking about kidnapping. We have a huge box behind us.
Mm.
How am I going to kidnap somebody inside the box? I mean, without being seen.
Mm.
It's almost is next to impossible. It's I can't even begin to imagine it. But, you know, we understand what they're trying to say. But at the same time, like he said, all these companies are registered under the Ministry of Transport. Look around you, you see branded bikes all over the place. Even the ones that are not branded, they have their, you know, their
sticker
MOT. They have their MOT with the company name, company contact number, right there on the rider's permit. All you need to do is just bring it out and contact the company. It's an easy way to hold us responsible. So coming up with this is because of the security concerns. There's no way to track them. No, really? There are so many ways to track them. They have us, all the details in their database.
Now, I remember last year, we had about 10 riders come to the gates here to complain about the harassment that they were being dealt with. I think one of them even had his bike stolen. I think that was on SARS Road, if I'm not mistaken. And, you know, the person made a comment that why are they treating riders, dispatch riders, that way? What exactly is wrong with the business? So let me ask you, why do you think that kind of attitude is being met out on your riders? You are not the rider directly, but is it that you don't cater for them very well? Why do people look at them in such a manner and say, oh, we can just ride on them?
I think that's completely or totally on the person who is trying to ride on a rider.
Mm.
The truth is, the business, there's a limit to what you can do. We have a certain, you know, bar or standard payment for the salary for the riders, individually and as companies, and even as a group. We encourage, you know, the bosses, the managers, and all that to take care of their riders. We have a welfare committee that helps, you know, the members in case your rider has an accident and all that. Yeah.
Okay.
But then, these riders go out there. They get harassed by the police, mostly police, touts, taxes. Who are these people answering to? The answer to the government. They feel like they're bigger than these riders. You know, the tax force will tell you we're from the government, local government. Mm-hmm. You can't do anything. And the police comes and holds you for hours. For what? You're running by 6:40. You should have closed. It's on them. It has nothing to do with the riders. Like I told you, riders that run against traffic, that's on the company.
Okay.
But the harassing of riders is actually on the people harassing the riders. It has nothing to do with the riders. It has nothing to do with the companies. They just want to harass them. They just want to be mean.
All right. So, unfortunately, we've run out of time this morning. It's great to have had members coming through to share their experiences, how it's affecting them. Final words, Victor.
Okay. I'd like to say these two things. First of all, I'd like to beg the bloggers out there to stop carrying false news. You understand? We've spent time and energy to make sure the logistics, you know, people look at it as Okada business, but it's not. We've been spending resources to make this business look nice, so it's very, very bad for them to just come out there and bring out words that are detrimental to the sector.
Yeah.
Then secondly, I want to beg the governor. I know he has the will of the people, you understand? He's compassionate, yes, but he should understand that this sector is a self-thriving sector, a sector that has employed by its own more than 5,000 persons employed on our own. I'm talking about the indirect. We have over 5,000 or 6,000 vendors at home that depend on our services. You understand? So please, I'm asking, I'm begging, if you want to come up with issues like this or anything, reach out to us. Get to the Ministry of Transportation. Get to us. Let's see. Coming out to place a ban, the ripple effect is massive. Yeah. Get to us. Tell us when you see that we don't have the capacity to solve the issue at hand, then you can take any further step. There is nothing that has been asked of us from the Ministry of Transportation that we've not done. As a matter of fact, I can beat my chest to tell you we have been ahead of them, because we know stuff like this will are bound to happen. We'll create database for our clients. See, you're talking about riders beating traffic. There is a rule that anytime you see a rider by the roadside, snap and put it on the group. Once they catch your rider with that helmet, the association will fine you. I don't know if you understand. So I'm begging the governor, please reach out to us. While this ban is still, so many persons are looking for ways to feed.
All right.
So many persons.
All right, Victor and Nina, thank you very much for coming through. And we'll hope to have more consultations. But in the news breakdown, we please want to get to hear from you as well. All right, that's the much we will take this morning on Hello Port Harcourt. It's been my pleasure once again to be your guest and your host simultaneously.